You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Support for this show comes from Mercury. There's an art to making the complex feel simple. Everything should be in sync so that even the smallest part serves a bigger purpose. Simplicity can transform your business operations. That's why Mercury powers your financial workflows from the bank account, so ambitious companies have the precision, control, and focus they need to perform at their best. Apply in minutes at mercury.com.
You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.
Welcome to Between the Links with your host, Mike Heck.
The iconic voice of Esther Lynn welcomes you to a special edition of Between the Links here on MMAfighting.com. I am Mike Heck. There is no full show this week. We decided to give everyone a well-deserved rest. Give the media members a rest from me bugging them and saying, you want to come on the show? And we'll ring in 2021 in a big way. And we're going to take a little ride on the Between the Links omnibus this week. We're going to take a look back at some of the best knockout rounds on the program in 2020. There's 10 of them. We're going to go back and take a and relive, so to speak, basically. And you know this if you've watched or listened to the program. The knockout round is the round that decides the game every week. And it's always pressure-packed. It's always fun. The participants, they never know what the question is until seconds before. They go off their gut, off the top of their dome, and it's just always fun and entertaining. So wanted to take a look back at the pressure-packed moments of the program in 2020. But before we get to those 10 knockout rounds, I do want to take this time and say thank you to everybody who has given the show a chance. Some people jumped on it right away. They remembered it from multiple iterations earlier on in my career. Others, it took some doing, which I understand. Some haven't completely bought into it yet. I get that as well, and that's totally okay. But to everybody who has checked out the program this year, that's digging what we're doing, it means the world. Because listen, getting here to MMA Fighting in March, trying to fill the shoes of those many people that were left before me, those massive shoes, is not possible to do. It's impossible. And sometimes early on, I felt the pressure, but what I learned along the way is that you all gave me the chance to just be me, and I appreciate that so much. Like, I wake up every day, hang out with my kid, eat breakfast, kiss my wife, and then I get to come downstairs and Command Center 2.0 and just talk about the sport I love with cool people, listen to them debate it. It's just awesome. And I feel like we have the best team in MMA media right now. Like, we check all the boxes, and I feel like some people believe that as well. Some people aren't sure of that yet. I feel like 2020, especially with all the changes and all the chaos, it's been a year of like building a foundation. Like, the house isn't up yet, but I feel like the concrete has been poured and it's going to be a pretty cool house. And then 2021 is the year that everything comes together. We build everything. We put the flooring down, put all the furniture in there. The house is just going to come together. Like, I feel like that's what 2021 is going to be. I'm very excited for what's to come in this next year for this show, for everything in and out of the world of mixed martial arts, for the site, everything. Because 2020 was crazy in a lot of ways. It was awful. In some ways, it was really good. I mean, I'm a Silver Linings kind of guy. I feel like I'm a positive thinker. 2020, not good, but there were some cool things that happened. But 2021, hopefully we could start this rebuilding process together, and I'm really excited about that. But before we turn the page, 2020 is not over yet, so let us take a look back at some of the best knockout rounds of the year on Between the Links, because this is the only time you're going to hear from me in this episode, so we're going to go right to the clips and stick with the clips from start to finish, which includes, as you'll see, the very first knockout round from our very first show. That's what's going to kick us off, and then you'll see the final one of the year, and then 2021 Between the Links, we're going to be off and running. But again, thank you so much. Happy New Year, and enjoy the best knockout rounds of 2020 on Between the Links. UFC President Dana White, Alex, and ESPN host Dan Le Batard, they had a nice little heated debate on the Dan Le Batard show last week. And in the end, for some god-awful reason, they verbally agreed to a fight for charity. Now, we all know that this fight is never, ever going to happen. But for the sake of this program and its debut, Alex K. Lee, if you are the promoter tasked with the kind of fight this would be or the gimmick that would be attached to it, I don't know, UFC contract on a pole match or something like that, put your Vince Russo hat on. Dana White versus Dan Le Batard. How are we doing this thing?
I mean, I'm definitely booking this as a tag match that keeps Dana and Dan out of the ring, ring or cage or whatever fighting area as long as possible. I'm a believer in the old booking of emphasize your strengths and hide your weaknesses. So Dan Le Batard obviously gets Jorge Masvidal. He teams up with Masvidal. And then Dana really can team up with whoever he wants. I mean, again, he's got that whole roster. But Dana gets to pick a welterweight or at least someone in the 170, 155, 185 range. Dan Le Batard brings in Jorge Masvidal. And then, that's a little more of an interesting thing to me. Maybe you get Dana and Dan there for a little bit of a lockup, maybe some interference. Someone's definitely getting hit with a chair. But otherwise, no, I have no interest. This is news to me. I did not hear that that challenge. So yes, I would definitely do a pro wrestling style match. This is happening in a ring, not in the octagon. And Le Batard and White are maybe getting 5 minutes of in ring time, and then you leave the rest of the heavy work to the big boys.
The mixed tag approach from Alex K. Lee. Jose, how are you booking this thing?
This is 100% going to be Dan Le Batard versus Dana White in a professional wrestling match. It's going to be Poppy on a pole, taking it right out of Vince Russo. Of course, Dan Le Batard's co-host Poppy is the only reason to watch the Dan Le Batard show. I greatly respect Poppy. I love how he pronounces every single Hispanic name correctly, straight from Cuba too. So much respect to Poppy and everything he's gone through and his pronunciation of names correctly. Unlike Alex, I actually want Dana and Dan to be the mouthpieces.
Oh, no.
They would be the managers who then can take a bumper or two and maybe scuffle on the outside of the ring, but they would each get champions. Of course, Dana White would get the professional, the fighter with professional wrestling experience, and that is, you named it, Ronda Rousey. She is his champion, and I'll say Dan Le Batard gets the other female fighter who has actually called out AEW people, and that is Chris Cyborg. And we can finally see Ronda Rousey versus Chris Cyborg inside of a ring with Dana White outside and Dan Le Batard outside and Poppy stuck on a pole a la Vince Russo. I can't remember who was on the pole, who in the WCW days.
Judy Bagwell.
Yeah, Judy Bagwell. The precedent is there. It's going to be in Florida where there are no rules. There's going to be Bowie knives everywhere like I found in Jacksonville. So there you go. That is the correct answer. Poppy on a pole, Ronda Rousey versus Chris Cyborg, Dana White versus Dan Le Batard. Point to Jose.
I respect the Cyborg Rousey stealth booking. Way to slip that one under the fence. And listen, Jose, hold on. Listen, say what you want about my love of Limp Bizkit. Say what you want about my horrible, horrible inability to grow facial hair. You leave my try hard name pronunciation alone. Okay, you Billy Quarantillo.
I'm sorry, he pronounces his name wrong too.
Billy Quarantillo, Ryan Benoit. Ryan Benoit.
Hey, Alex, what's the last letter of the alphabet?
Clitson Abreu. Good luck with that one, buddy. Don't even try it. I don't want you to. We don't want you to have to go there. Clitson Abreu. Sure. Zed, the last letter of the alphabet, of course, is Zed. We all know that.
Wow.
The mighty Zed.
Let us. This is tough. This is a good battle. But as people who have followed the show through all of its iterations, I don't like being the one who inflicts the decisions. I like to pass that on to somebody else to do so. So let us go to the truck to Casey Lydon. And Casey, what do you think? Who won this battle? It was even going in. Now we're talking Poppy on a pole and all sorts of craziness when we put this Dana White versus Dan Le Batard matchup together. Who wins the inaugural episode of Between the Links?
Jose Youngs
gets the win. What a battle it was. There you have Alex. It. First show is in the books. We have our first winner.
Alex, you want to touch it? You earned it. You want to touch it, Alex? You earned it. Hard work paid off for you.
So here is the question, but Jose, Kristen, it's not really a question in the end, since all of our loyal watchers and listeners like to call me Dana White's son or Dana White's little brother. Allow me, if you will, to encompass that role for a moment. So right now I am not Mike Heck. I'm another bald guy with a crap ton more money who is the president of the biggest fight organization on planet Earth. And it's rare that actual MMA media members get one-on-one time with me these days. And today you get 60 seconds to say anything you want to me, whether it's making a point about anything in the sport, maybe a particular aspect that you want changed, or maybe you want to tell me how great I am or how good my light blue shirt looks. Either way, you have 1 minute to get it all out there. So we're going to set the timer. It's already there for 1 minute. Get ready, get set, go.
Well, first of all, Dana White, wear a tie when you're on camera. Well, nothing bothers me more than grown men who wear shirts, suits, and no tie. It is personally infuriating me. Yeah, you're a billionaire. Wear a tie. Look professional. Second of all of these fighters that want to fight you, and you're like, oh, we can fight an octagon. You think you're going to pass a USADA test? I don't think so, Dana White. I've seen you on the men's fitness, men's health covers. Don't think USADA knocking on your door. You're not getting away from that one. Second of all, third of all, answer a question. When I say, what's next for so-and-so, don't say, isn't ESPN great? I'm like, no, that's not what I ask, guy. I ask you, what's next for so-and-so? Don't say, oh, Joe Silva is this and that. Like, that's not what I asked. I asked for what's next for Sean O'Malley. And fourth, open the books. I would like to know why you're spending $10,000 on vacations, but you're also paying fighters 10, 10, and 10.
All right. That is my time. Time is up. Time is up. And I'm going to answer your question the way Dana White would say it. I've said this a million times already. We're in a pandemic, Jose. We're in a pandemic.
Oh, okay.
Kristen, I mean, that's his answer to a lot of different things. So we got 60 seconds from Jose Youngs. Kristen King, it is now your turn. 60 seconds on the clock, 1 minute on the bottom right-hand corner of your screen, and go.
Dana White, I can appreciate what you've done for the sport as far as the global pandemic has gone, but please be open to more criticism. You have to realize that putting on fight cards seemed like the most insane idea ever, and just the fact that you pushed back against it so hard was kind of hard to watch. But in the end, you ended up doing great. I'm happy that you did it. You kind of found your stride when it came to the fight cards. That's great. Second, please, let's have an open conversation about better pay for the fighters. If you're saying that this is not a career, this is more of an opportunity, wouldn't you want to give your fighters the best opportunity to make the most money possible and retire with a good chunk of change? I think you should be more open to that. We should be more open to getting these fighters the money they deserve, especially when it comes to like licensing. If you guys are going to sign Reebok or get a new deal with Nike, make sure your athletes get paid. Listen to the athletes. They know what they want. They know what they're worth. Give it to them, please.
Wow. There you have it. I'm not Dana White anymore. I don't want to be Dana White right now because you guys torched him. What can I say? And I agree with Jose. Tie with the suit. Tie with the suit. Come on now. But good stuff.
No one.
Yes. But now I get to sit back, relax, and send it on over to the truck to Judge E. Casey Lydon, the man with the golden gavel, to render the final decision. So, Judge Lydon, what is your verdict?
Sorry. I was hoping for a knockout. I didn't want to have to go to the cards. I didn't want to do this. All right, let me tally this up. All right. This is a tough one. You had the tie, you had the fighter pay, and Reebok money. And new Between the Links interim champion, Jose Youngs.
Oh, man! Wow! Casey, well done. I was on the edge of my seat the whole time. Jeez Louise.
Oh, I am sweating.
Wow. This has been a crazy year for everybody. For all of us, for the UFC, for the sport in general. However, the UFC has moved forward with a lot of cards, a lot of fights, pay-per-views, etc. AK, we are approaching August. So my question is, through seven full months of action in 2020, who is right now the 2020 Fighter of the Year and why? 60 seconds on the clock. Go.
Oh, my goodness. What a question. That, again, normally I would require a lot of research. The clock is ticking. Correct. I'm just building up drama at this point. Gosh, if I had to go, are we allowed to project ahead?
However you
was so far.
Yeah, you're wasting 20 seconds thinking about it.
No, it's fine. Look, I like Kamaru Usman. All right, I know that the Jorge Masvidal match was more about Masvidal than it was about Usman. But look, there's all these storylines swirling around Usman with like Colby Covington rivalry, you know, beating Woodley last time, and then fighting Masvidal. This guy is on his way, I think, to becoming one of the greatest welterweights of all time, and not just based on his record and who he's beaten. When you watch him, he's really revealing a lot about just what a great fighter he is. So I have to give him all the credit in the world for that, because he keeps saying, I'm Canadian. I hesitate to call anyone the next GSP.
5 seconds.
But if anyone is on their way to becoming the next GSP, man, it might be Usman.
All right. Alex K. Lee going with Kamaru Usman, maybe in a future sense. Jed, you got a minute to ponder this question. What do you think? Who is the 2020 Fighter of the Year to this point?
I may take 30 seconds just to bask in Alex handing me the win. I mean, I don't know about you guys. I personally would not pick my Fighter of the Year as a guy who gave a largely just completely panned performance in what was a win and a tactical performance, but he didn't win no fans. However, I'm going to go with the guy he's fighting next, because if the year stops today, Gilbert Burns has wins over Demian Maia and Tyron Woodley. I mean, if you're just talking about what you've accomplished, that's it. I do think maybe there's an outside argument, honestly, for Khamzat Chimaev, just because of what he's done in the last 10 days. It's insane, and he's going to get another fight in August, apparently. But, I mean, Gilbert Burns has looked sensational since moving up, and he's looked even better just this year. He went from being an also-ran lightweight. He is now the number one contender with a bullet at welterweight, and he gets a chance to upset Kamaru Usman, who maybe is on his way to being the next GSP, or maybe he's on his way to being the third victim of Gilbert Burns.
Oh man, Casey, the decision comes down to you. I don't know. This one seems maybe easy to me. What do you think, Judge Casey Lydon? Who is the champ?
You know, I've had a bunch of stressful calls in the last few weeks, but it's nice. It's nice to have a week off. This is gonna be. This one's not too difficult. Your winner and new,
woo,
Jed Meshew.
MMA fighting, baby. Yeah.
And new. Congratulations, sir.
So my question is,
support for this show comes from Mercury. Financial operations are needlessly complex. Startups have to cobble together a patchwork of tools to reconcile transactions from different sources and struggle to glean answers from platforms that speak different languages. Simplicity can transform your business operations. That's why Mercury powers your financial workflows from the bank account, so you can pay bills faster, stay in control of company spending, and speed up reconciliation. Apply in minutes at mercury.com and join over 100,000 ambitious startups that trust Mercury. Not just for banking and credit cards, but for the precision, control, and focus they need to transform their financial workflows and perform at their best. Mercury, the art of simplified finances. Apply in minutes at mercury.com. Mercury is a financial technology company, not a bank. Banking services provided by Choice Financial Group and Evolve Bank & Trust. Members FDIC.
Listen, I'm 24 and I still live at home. Like, what? For sure. Are you kidding me? My man and I, we attempted to move out.
Yeah, that'll be $1,600 for a studio apartment, not including groceries, not including...
Last fall, the National Association of Realtors released data showing that housing affordability had fallen to its lowest point since the 1980s for reasons of economy, American.
There just aren't a lot of home sales going on. And there's really kind of a standoff right now between buyers and sellers.
That standoff leads to another kind of standoff.
It's always fun being 40-something years old and having to live with your parents again. And I know it's all my fault.
Sir, I don't know your life, but on Today Explained, a two-part series on how it might not be your fault. Our housing reality bites and the American dream is in your childhood bedroom. Series sponsored by Mint Mobile. Today Explained, in your feed every weekday.
And I'll tell my mom, Mom, I'm going to the bathroom, I'll be back. If I'm not out in like 3 minutes, dog, she's like knocking on the door going, everything okay in there? Yeah, Mom, everything's cool, dog.
What can Dana White, the UFC, those involved with the Contender Series do to make this concept even better, even more successful than it is right now? Because we've seen The Ultimate Fighter over the years. First few seasons, we're like, yeah, this is great. But as it kept going on, started to lose some cachet, so to speak. It's kind of like the Roy Nelson of reality television programs and fighting. But 60 seconds on the clock. What can we do to make the Contender Series better? Your time starts now. Sean Rossap, go.
I would like to see the UFC do some more of those like retribution seasons of Ultimate Fighter. Quite frankly, I liked seasons like that a little bit more than ones where they brought on unknowns. Bring some guys back that are familiar. Bring some guys back in that manner. Gerald Harris has been begging for a fight. He can't win outside the UFC these days. Put him on Contender Series. Maybe he gets a big win. Maybe he pile drives somebody through the mat or hits a rolling senton powerbomb or something, because that's what he does. That's the way I would spice it up a little bit. Not just use names that are virtual unknowns. They've done it here and there, but use some names that are familiar to UFC fans that can then prop up some of these unknowns, get some eyes on some of these guys that have outstanding performances and knockouts. That way, whenever they tune into a UFC show and see a Dana White Contender Series product, they can be like, oh yeah, I remember him from when I watched Gerald Harris hit a corkscrew 720 body slam on somebody. That's what I'd like to see.
All right. Jed, same question for you. I don't know if you're a Contender Series guy or not, but if so, and if not, here's your opportunity to make it better, Jed. Chance to make the MMA world a better place in 60 seconds. Your time starts now.
So I'm sad I didn't choose to go first, because usually you want to take that time to develop your answer. But I knew as soon as you asked what to say, and Sean, thankfully, just chose not to take the obvious choice. It's a one-night tournament. You make it a one-night tournament. That's it. It's a throwback to the old days. You add two more fights, so it's seven fights total. But it's a four, then a two, then a one. Whoever wins the tournament, UFC contract, cut, drive, we're done here. It's awesome. It actually builds the fighters better, because you get a whole narrative, not just their win and some backstory. And it circumvents the issue of fighters getting injured and pulling out, because they're fighting for a contract. Part of that just comes part and parcel with it. So four fights, the loser of those four fights get ranked in an order of who will come in as the fallback guy if someone gets injured, and you just kind of keep moving up the chain right there. Easy does it. One night tournament. Bring it back, baby.
All right.
Until a Vitor Couture situation happens. Then you're crying, saying it doesn't count.
What a show this has been, and it's unfortunate we're going to have to call an end to this bad boy. But before we do, we got to go to the truck, to the judge, His Honorable E. Casey Lydon, to render the final decision. The man, like Bill Alfonso, calls it right down the middle, baby. Bad.
Oh, man. Well, first of all, this was the longest show we've ever had.
Sorry, Casey.
Man. I gotta say, I got up a couple times to get some coffee. I came back. You were still talking about Waffle House. I admire that, I guess.
I don't regret it.
No regrets. No regrets. Oh, boy. This is a tough one. This is a tough one. Oh. Okay. All right. Got my scorecard.
Battlegrounds MMA turnout.
You're a winner. And new.
No!
Yeah! John Rossap.
Wow.
What if the UFC were to put on an event like this and they were able to put together the ultimate gimmick match, Cam Soda style, for the Octagon? If they could pull it off, what would you want to see, Sean Rossap?
Davison Figueiredo against Stefan Struve.
Without a doubt. Without a doubt. Davison Figueiredo against Stefan Struve.
When I got UFC, the video game, the first fight that I fired up was Demetrius Mighty Mouse Johnson against Stefan Struve. It took me 8 times to beat him. I would be all for it. I would love to see a tag team grappling match or a fight within a UFC cage. I think that could be just batshit crazy, insane, and something that they would never do, but I would love for them to do it. Give me night fights for all I care. Load them up in armor and have them swing weapons at each other. But I think it would be the best flyweight in the world against the biggest guy on their roster. That's what I want to see.
Wow. 12 seconds to spare. John Rossap going Figgy versus Stefan Struve. Jed has a look in his eye. I can't really read it at this point. I don't know if he's happy about this question, if he's sad about this question. I don't know.
I get to talk Cam Soda. I'm thrilled.
All right. Before we let you answer, in like two sentences, describe Cam Soda for those who didn't get to watch it.
It's like if your friends put on an MMA show in their backyard, but had decent production values, and it's just hilarious. It's the funniest thing.
Okay. Well, now we're going to take that idea and that concept and do it in the Octagon, where they have their own arena. They have their own production. They have all sorts of fun stuff on ESPN. With that being said, Jed, what are we doing? What's the ultimate gimmick match? 60 seconds starts now.
Look, I get where Sean's coming from. It seems fun to do that. But the reality is you got to know your gimmick matches, because it just wouldn't work out. Davison Figueiredo would just get laid on. There's too big a size disparity there for that to really be that fun. You need to ratchet it up a couple of weight classes, get like a featherweight in there. Like Max Holloway's kind of big enough to maybe make that a little bit interesting. What you do, it doesn't matter the fighters. I've got preferences. You could pick one or two. One simple thing. Nut shots are legal. You have a fight. All groin strikes are totally legal. If you want to open it up for eye pokes as well, just really take it back, all the way back. Get that Keith Hackney just going for it. It'll change the dynamic. We don't have to deal with the referees, you know, calling things and stopping the action. We just let it run. It's fine. It's beautiful. You can make it that just for 2-on-1, so the one guy can just kick one dude low and then have 1-on-1. It's perfect.
Wow. All right. So we have like an actual MMA fight between the flyweight champion and the tallest heavyweight in the UFC. And then we have a fight where we just throw all the rules out the window. Maybe eye gouges, but nut shots are okay.
I've got 12 seconds left. It can be stand and bang rules. That was on the game. or as I like to call them, Dan Quinn rules. No kicks, no takedowns.
I would accept his answer if we did Stefan Struve versus Davison Figueiredo in the kick fight only rule set, because that was maybe the best part about Cam Soda.
I think Davison Figueiredo would probably manage his range better than Stefan Struve in that fight.
Wow. Just one move is just right there for him, though. Lights out.
Guys, the timer ran out. Come on.
This is the best episode ever. Casey, now you get to take us on home. Who is walking out of the virtual cage with the BTL strap?
Well, I'm putting my imagination cap on, and I'm visualizing it right now. Oh, man, Stefan Struve versus Figueiredo. I'm actually combining both answers, because I just see Figueiredo actually headbutting Stefan Struve in the groin the whole time.
Headbutts are legal.
Man, both are amazing answers. But I have a winner winning the last round by 10 to 9.5. The half point system still rules. And new!
Oh! Zamuño's Edgar decision.
Yeah. I won't lie, that was. That last one was a tough one because I love your answer, Sean.
Yeah.
That was the first thing I was interested in doing on that video game. I was like, all right. And it took me 8 attempts to beat Stefan Struve stand and bang mode with Mighty Mouse Johnson. I was ashamed of myself.
I love
ESPN. And Bellator is going to be changing networks from Paramount to CBS Sports beginning on October 1st. Now, some things to note, no more tape delays, which is just excellent news. They're also going to France with a big card. And one thing that people have been talking about, the domestic events in the United States are now going to take place on Thursday nights, beginning with the Chris Cyborg versus Arlene Bianco fight on October 15th for the featherweight title, and then the Gegard Mousasi, Douglas Lima fight on October 29th for the vacant middleweight title. That's also going to be on a Thursday night. So while this is definitely a big move, Phoenix, was this a game-changing move? Was this impactful? Did it take Bellator to another level in the grand scheme of things? So 60 seconds are going to be on the clock. There it is. Your time starts now.
Hell MFing yeah. Okay. And I think that, like, I love Coker because of Strikeforce. And we remember all of the great things that happened with Strikeforce when they were on Showtime. Showtime and the UFC do not like each other. They were not good partners. Showtime was like, yes, let's work with Bellator again. CBS partner, you know, that entire merger, Vitz is all big family. I think that Thursday is a smart decision because then they don't have to go up against the UFC, which makes people say, oh, fights are on. And they don't have to pick and choose, which is a game changer as well. Starting with Cyborg, everybody still has an interest in her, even though the Amanda Nunes situation kind of brought her stock down. Even for me, I honestly never thought Cyborg was going to lose, and then now I'll never doubt Nunes ever again. But yes, absolute game changer for the company, and it's going to level them up.
Jed Meshew, we go to you, the champ. Can he retain his title? We'll wait for 60 seconds to get back on the clock. There we go. Your time starts right now.
Mike, I'd like to ask a clarifying question. This time when they're on CBS, are they going to have a pink-haired Seth Petruzzelli kill their golden goose immediately? Because if not, it's going to be a great decision for them. I mean, the last time that was a confluence of really poor events for them that Kimbo got like that. But that can't happen again. I mean, it could, I guess, happen that Chris Cyborg gets defeated. But even so, that's not going to be nearly as devastating as the loss to Seth Petruzzelli on short notice was for Kimbo. Otherwise, I think even if you took everything else out of it, moving to CBS, there's cachet there. Paramount Network is a fake network. I know it's a rebrand from Spike, but if you ask 10 people what Paramount is, they probably don't know. Spike at least had a brand. So moving to CBS, it has a real solidified brand. That's obviously an improvement. And I love the Thursday night shift because people don't have anything to do on Thursday nights because they have work on Friday. Saturday, you're competing against other television and the world at large. I think Thursday is a great opportunity for them. Sensational move from Scott Coker here.
I know one person that's probably going to be pissed about it, or one league, one organization. PFL is probably like, you got to be shitting me right now.
But oh, yeah.
It is what it is. They're not doing anything right now anyways.
I was going to say, are they still a league? Is that still a thing? That's why we're talking, and I know Casey gets mad when we talk.
Oh, okay. Well, Casey, you've been silent long enough here outside of the normal production work you've had to do, but we now throw it to you, the honorable judge. Who is the winner?
First of all, it was great having Phoenix here. A great competition. Very sportsmanlike. No faking groin shots here tonight. No faking sackage shots. So, my winner, the 21-year-old and new Phoenix Carnival.
Wow.
I have to tell you, when Phoenix started dropping Strike Force Nuggets. I was like, oh boy, this is gonna tickle at the heartstrings of Casey Lydon. Is that accurate, Casey?
It touches me. I got a little fuzzy, a little warm.
I thought that I had it with the Kimbo. I thought going to Kimbo was the game changer. Oh,
it's a two-parter. How would we grade the UFC in this Shamayev booking and hype department now since the Meerschaert win? And at this point, after hearing him speak, seeing and hearing options, you want Cowboy Oliveira. Why Cowboy Oliveira for December 19th if all goes well this weekend? 60 seconds on the clock, and your time starts now.
So for grading the UFC, I still think they're doing a really good job with it. Even if the Damian Maia fight didn't happen, the double booking thing has built this aura around Khamzat, which is pairing with what he's done to be this indestructible guy, and people are really interested into him. I think at this point, he's probably the fighter of the year. Maybe that changes, but I think booking-wise, they're doing okay. I want to see Cowboy Oliveira. I think that's the best fight that makes sense for him, because Cowboy Oliveira is the kind of right test for development. What we know about Khamzat, I wrote about this actually the past weekend, we just know very little about Khamzat at this point. We know he can grapple and he punches hard and he's really good athletically, but we haven't actually seen him fight against a real test, and Alex Oliveira is going to athletically challenge him and not just be someone who gets rolled over. I'd like to see him take that step before he got really in there with the top 10 top 15 opponent, and then after that, double book him for that. So do Alex Oliveira, and then Chris Weidman said he wanted it. Fine, Chris Weidman, you get the business next.
Okay. Jed Meshew has given his answer. Aaron Bronsetter, same question for you. 60 seconds on the clock. It is Shamayev Mania here in 2020, and it continues right now. Your time starts now.
I think they've handled it great because we're still wondering who he's going to face. Like, they keep teasing who it's going to be. Is it going to be Neil Magny? Is it going to be... Throw him in the deep end. Let's have him face Leon Edwards. They don't want to give Leon Edwards a title shot. And everybody thinks this guy is like a world beater in Shamayev. And that I spoke to a lot of odds makers, and they think that he would be favored over most of the welterweight and middleweight division. Let's fast track this guy. Leon Edwards doesn't want to fight anybody, it seems. Nobody wants to fight Leon Edwards because they don't think that there's any clout in fighting Leon Edwards. Let's chase some clout. Khamzat Chimaev versus Leon Edwards. Let's fast track this guy right to the top of the welterweight division. The way that he dominated those guys, I'm sold on this guy. I want to see him fight the best of the best already. I know that you don't want to fast track guys, and I talked about Pico earlier and all that. Leon Edwards, nobody wants to fight this guy. It seems like they don't want to push him to the championship level. Let's give him Chimaev, because if he beats Chimaev, now he beat this guy that everybody thought was going to be unbeatable. And if Chimaev beats him, he's right there in the mix for the title. And I think that they want to fast track this guy. They want to build a big name out of him. So that's my pick. I don't think it's going to happen. But if I had the book, Leon Edwards would be his opponent.
Jed, what would you like to say in response to this? Because you reacted in just a hilarious way right away. And I wonder why.
Because he said it himself. Aaron Pico, who knocked out Leandro Ego in spectacular fashion, but giving him Henry Corrales is a bridge too far, and we've ruined this spectacular prospect. Khamzat Chimaev has beaten nobody nearly as good as Leandro Ego, and we're going to give him Leon freaking Edwards? Have we
Let's
lost
do it.
Our
Fast track time. Fast track time. Let's go. Let's go. Everybody's confident in this guy. Everybody says he's going to be a champion one day. Let's get the ball rolling.
A man who speaks out of both sides of his mouth deserves to have them permanently closed.
Let's get the ball rolling. Let's get the ball rolling. Leon Edwards, baby. You want a good main event? Give him one of the top guys.
Leon Edwards has never produced a good main event either. What are we talking about?
Yeah, but now he would. Don't you think people would want to tune in to see what would happen in that fight? See if this guy's for real.
It's still Leon Edwards
smokes him. Now Leon Edwards is like, wow, he beat that guy that nobody thought he was going to beat.
I don't think anyone cares about Leon Edwards for any
But they would after he beat Chimaev. If they hype up Chimaev and say, this guy's the next guy. This guy's the guy to beat.
Questionable at best. He's still Leon Edwards.
And Leon Edwards doesn't fight wrestlers ever. So now you got a good wrestler that's going to challenge him in that regard. I think it would be a fun fight. And I think people would tune in to see it.
Wow. I honestly, I mean, this whole game has been two differing opinions, and I love it so much. I want five more questions.
People are going to kill me for saying he's fighting Leon Edwards. Everybody thinks that this guy, he hasn't beaten anybody. Look at what he does in the cage. The guy's a monster. He's just an absolute beast. He's crushing people.
Pretty easy to be a monster.
And you talk about Pico. They're grabbing people from the regional scene for Pico to face. These are UFC fighters he's beating.
You're right. Khamzat Chimaev is a monster because he dump trucked John Phillips, who put a phenomenal grappling display on against
John. John Phillips has a UFC win, and Gerald Meerschaert has the most submission wins in middleweight history. You heard of him? He's good.
Good fighter. Gerald Meerschaert looked
that was
like
his step up. That was the step up for Gerald Meerschaert, and how did he respond to that?
Gerald Meerschaert looked defeated instantaneously, and then actually was defeated instantaneously. So it worked out really well.
Yeah, well, that was the test. Everybody said that was the big test. Let's see how he does against this guy. Pass the test with flying colors. So let's see it. Fast track the guy.
I'll tell you what. No matter how I feel, or Jed feels, or Aaron feels, it only comes down to the opinion of one man, and that man is the judge, E. Casey Lydon. And I know how Casey thinks about this whole situation, or at least how he did when this whole phenomenon started. So I am fascinated to hear who is going to come out victorious. So we turn it over to you, Casey. What do you think? You've heard the arguments. How do you rule?
Well, first of all, good day, gentlemen. I don't understand why we have a minute timer. Let's just put that out there.
Your rebuttals in this round as well.
I was in there for the minute, and then everybody started asking questions.
Woo. You know, I made my decision at the minute point, but then at the 2 minute point, I kind of changed, and at the 3 minute point, I was like, a lot of good arguments here. So you're making me work overtime now.
It's a draw, isn't it?
Yeah.
The majority draw. the mustache picks somebody.
Oh man, I feel like there was a groin shot in there somewhere. I could count. All right, your winner, Mr. Jed Meshew.
Oh man,
that was the only rightful decision. I already won in regulation anyway, so that's how we get here.
And you can even either go at this moment or how it could play out at the end of the year, because we still have 2 months to go, still have some fights to play out that can determine this answer more definitively. So as of right now, Jed Meshew, who is the 2020 Female Fighter of the Year in the UFC? Who could it be by the end of the year? Who do you think it is? 60 seconds on the clock. Your time starts now.
Oh, man, that is a good one. And I hate now being on the spot with this.
I'm so glad you went first.
I have a little bit of regret in regards to that, frankly. Female Fighter of the Year. I naturally just want to say Valentina Shevchenko, because she is obviously going to win later this year. And it's hard for me to think of a number of women who have really stood out as far as putting together a lot of wins that are super relevant in the division. Whereas instead, I mean, you have Shevchenko, who got a nice TKO over Chukagian, and will get another nice finish there coming up in December, I think. No, or into this month, not December, sorry, when she takes on Jennifer Maya. So I'm going to give her the lead there. Yeah, let's go Valentina Shevchenko. Can't go wrong with the bullet train.
There you go. All right, John, same question for you. Probably pays off for you that you got to go second. 60 seconds on the clock. 2020 Female Fighter of the Year in the UFC. Who is it now? Who could it be? Your time starts right now.
Man, that is tough. And I hadn't even considered how tough this question was until you asked it. And I was sort of sitting here thinking about it, because I think Jed's right. There isn't an obvious answer. And I think both the defaults that you would default to, Valentina or Amanda, neither of them have resumes that would blow you away. Because Jed said Valentina, I'll go ahead and say Amanda, and I was going to say Amanda anyway. I mean, let's assume that Amanda gets by Megan Anderson. At this point, she has been a two-division champion in the UFC, defending both belts for how long at this point? A year and a half? 2 years? Like, that's just outrageous. I know the featherweight aspect of that makes it weird. That's not a real division in some sense, but she's still defending that title against actual featherweights. If she gets through Megan Anderson, in addition to getting through Felicia Spencer, to me, that's at least something. I would say Amanda Nunes would get it, just because, again, carrying two belts at once, man, she's doing it at this point for almost 2 years. That's outrageous. That's ridiculous. So she should get it. She's the female GOAT. Get Women Fighter of the Year. It's been a weird year. I would give it to her.
See, it's an interesting question, because, I mean, I was basically weighing it the same way. And then as we kept talking, there's a couple other names that kind of like sprinkled in. One is Amanda Hibas.
I know exactly who we should have said now, Sean. I know who Casey would have picked if we had said it, and I won't say it because I don't want to, you know, throw that salt in. I want to let a true answer be rendered, but we both screwed up, Sean. We both screwed up hard.
Now that you're saying that, I think I know the same person.
I bet you do.
Yeah. Now that you said that, I know what I should have pandered to my audience. I didn't realize I was pandering.
You got to play to the audience.
You guys didn't tell me that Casey fixed this. I needed to pander to Casey.
We missed the layup, is all I'm saying.
great answers, gentlemen. Great answers. Great answers. Let me just say, tough question, but great answers. Winner by default. Mr. Shaheen Alshadeh.
Yeah, baby. What is the default? Is the default going to be stuck on you before you read the cards?
Oh, man. Casey, let me just say that your mustache is gorgeous. I'm jealous of your mustache. You made the right call. I am so glad. You're such a wonderful man, Casey. You really are. You're such a smart, intelligent, bright young man. You have a great future ahead of you.
Five rounds with Felicia Spencer. Valentina Shevchenko just obliterated Kaylin Chikagian.
Jed, Amanda just had a baby. You will respect that.
Yeah, but that's not Fighter of the Year. Also, she didn't have the baby. She was party to the baby.
So 2021, we're looking at, it's a clean slate, but these champions are going to go into 2021. 2.5 is the over-under number. How many of those titles will be lost? So we're going to put 60 seconds on the clock. Your time starts now.
For next year, for 2021, I'm going to say under here. I don't see anyone beating anybody in the division right now. You know, I think Figueredo is going to hold on to it. I think Stipe holds on. I think he defends once a year. He ended it all. So if he doesn't vacate, there's part of your under right there. Israel Adesanya is not losing the middleweight belt anytime soon. If he beats Jan Błachowicz, there's the one. I don't think anyone's beating Usman anytime soon in that division. And at 55, if Khabib really comes back, I don't see anyone beating him. You know, and we don't know who the champion's going to be then if Khabib does vacate the title. If he does, and it's Conor versus Dustin, I think if Dustin wins, you know, that's an interesting, that division to me would be the only one that's really open that would change. You know, 45 right now, it's a tough one. And 35, again, you know, we have a situation where there is no champ. I think if Aljamain Sterling versus Yod happens and Aljo wins, I don't know who's beating him in the bottom, in the top five anytime soon. I really love Aljo there.
All right.
That was harder than I thought it was going to be. Shit.
Welcome to Between the Links, Ian Parker. Welcome to you.
I like the pressure.
All right, Jed. Here we go. You had a little more time to think about this. Over or under 2.5 champions will lose their titles in the UFC in 2021.
Well, your time starts now. I'd like to say I'm really glad that Casey's back because you can't be trusted and you make terrible decisions. So I no longer have to be concerned with your bad choices. So that's a win for everybody. As far as your question, I am smashing the over. I think Jan is gone. Aljo taking the belt from him. Stipe, gone. Whoever he fights, be it John Jones or Francis Ngannou or even Curtis Blaydes, taking the title from him. I think Izzy's probably going to be forced to vacate the middleweight belt after he takes the light heavyweight belt from Jan Błachowicz. So there's another one. Habib's going to actually retire, leave the sport, and that lightweight title is going to start doing a round robin amongst contenders. I think featherweight's probably safe. Most of the women's titles are safe unless Amanda Nunes decides she wants to walk away from the sport. But the coup de grace, the piece de resistance, Leon Edwards, breakout fighter of 2021. He's going to beat Khamzat Chimaev. He's going to take the welterweight title from Kamaru Usman, just like I'm about to get my belt back from Alshadi.
All right. Well, listen, before
I got a question about his response. And I just want to make sure I understood this. You said that vacating did not count as a title change, if I'm correct. So if you take away all those vacates that Jed just said, I think only one champion out of all that wins. Apparently, according to Jed, seven people are vacating their title.
You said Stipe,
Piotr Jan, and Usman are all done.
And you said 55 is going to be a round robin of new champions. So they're vacant. So if we're adding vacates, if we're adding vacates, Jed said like 9 titles are going to change.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
Now we turn it over to Casey, the judge. You've heard the arguments. How do you rule in this matchup, sir?
Very good arguments on both sides, gentlemen. We had one under, one over. I see what both of you are saying. I made my decision. Your winner this week, mostly because he kissed my ass, Jed Meshew.
Oh, see, Ian, you, it's your first time on. You're going to learn from this experience and realize that in the lightning round, you got to suck up to Casey.
One, on a scale of 1 to 10, how excited are you to see what Bellator does in 2021? And two, if we can get there, what's the one thing you'd like to see them do that they didn't do all that well in 2020 to make their 2021 the best it can be? We're going to put 60 seconds on the clock. Your time starts right now.
What was the first question again? Sorry.
On a scale of 1 to 10, how excited are you to see what Bellator does in 2021?
Got it.
Go.
9.5 to 10. I mean, look, I'm that dude. I'm the Yoel Romero dude, and they signed him. Like, they signed maybe the best middleweight in the world. Like, and he gets to go in and compete. I mean, Malky Kawa tweeted today, 185, 205 heavyweight. All I've wanted for years is Yoel to just stop cutting weight and compete at 205, go up and fight heavyweights and do weird Yoel things up there where he'll be even better. Like, give me Yoel versus Vadim Nemkov. Give me Yoel versus Gegard Mousasi. Give me Yoel versus everybody in one damn night. I'm so here for it. And, like, that's all they needed to do was sign him. Plus, I think there's a chance Bellator can pick up some more signees. Like, I think the thing that I think that I would like to see the most from them is something they have been publicly shying away from recently, which is pick up more UFC castoffs, because there are about to be a bunch of big name fighters from the UFC let go. And I want to see that talent in Bellator. I want to see Yoel versus Jacare too. I want to see Rumble versus Yoel. I want to see all that. So give me that and let's do it.
All right. I like the answer. Sean, we go to you. Championship on the line in these final 60 seconds. Although you could probably get 65 since Jed kind of abused his time a little bit. Same question for you. Scale 1 to 10. How excited are you to see what Bellator does in 2021? And also, if you have time, what's one thing you'd like to see them do better in 2021 that they didn't do so well in 2020? Your time starts now.
I mean, I'm at a solid 8 or 9 at this point. Today, the Yoel Romero signing combined with the Anthony Johnson signing just opens up a world of possibilities and doors that they could sort of explore now. That roster, especially light heavyweight, their light heavyweight roster right now is actually very comparable to the UFC's. And I can't remember a time in recent history where another promotion has had a division that is comparable. I think if you line up their top five, it's actually not like that big of a difference. The number one contender in the UFC right now, Glover Teixeira, has 3 of his last 4 losses have been to current Bellator guys. Like, this is a very weird setup that we haven't had in a long time. I'm very excited about it. And as for a thing they can do better in 2020 or 2021, 2 things. One, the commentary. The commentary is not very good. The production just in general is not make for a fun watch. I don't know that the McCarthy Josh Thompson mix works, but also the cage size. The cage is still terrible. None of this changes the fact that the cage is terrible. The circle is bad. It makes for a bad viewing experience. It's too big. It makes for boring fights more often than not. The cage size in general is a terrible thing, and we should change it.
Oh man, I know where this is going already. I already know where the judging is going. I know. Casey, go ahead. I know already. I already know who's going to win.
Man, I had my decision picked about 15 seconds left, and then you had to go to the cage.
Started that cage after time had expired, but you know.
Yeah. Jesus. Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
I don't know.
Can we go to...
Sudden death?
Oh, man. Okay. I got it. There's only 5 rounds.
your winner.
Oh, this hurts. This hurts. And new Jed Mishu.
Wow. I can always tell the words that Casey seems so pained by the fact that he's going to pick this. I can hear it in his voice. It's like, yeah.
Oh, my God. I'm shocked. I'm shocked. I thought when Sean mentioned the cage size, I was like, it's a wrap, dude. I thought it was over.
It was
well done.
I agree. I was a little concerned when Sean went to the cage. My one saving grace is that Casey was being a gentleman and doing what you didn't have the guts to do. Because Sean knows I worked him in the fourth, and you just didn't have the balls to call it fair. So Casey just covered it back. Me and Michelle Vahey are matchmaking.
This is all very ridiculous. This is all very ridiculous. I'm pretty sure that guy said I agree with Sean about 7 different times on this show. I don't know how that happens. Casey, I thought we were friends. I don't believe in your cage crusade anymore, and I can't believe you just did this to me.
Good stuff, gentlemen. Thank you. Thank you for joining us. A little friendly panel. It will not be as friendly the next time we get together, I'm sure. But for all of you, thank you for watching as always. Big thanks to Casey Lydon, our judge on the production side, for his incredible work this year on the program. The iconic voice of Esther Lynn. We miss her at MMA Fighting. But for Jed, AK, I am Mike Heck. Thanks for joining us once again, Between the Links. Good night, everybody.
Love you guys.
This has been Between the Links with your host, Mike Heck, brought to you by MMA Fighting, a production of Vox Media.
You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.
Support for this show comes from Mercury. There's an art to making the complex feel simple. Everything should be in sync so that even the smallest part serves a bigger purpose. Simplicity can transform your business operations. That's why Mercury powers your financial workflows from the bank account, so ambitious companies have the precision, control, and focus they need to perform at their best. Apply in minutes at mercury.com.
The Current podcast is back with an exciting new season featuring marketing executives from the world's most influential brands. Tune in to hear what's driving conversation in the fast-moving world of digital advertising with unique insights from brands as diverse as Hilton, Instacart, Moderna, Major League Soccer, and more. And in this presidential election season, The Current explores what a national political advertiser like the National Republican Senatorial Committee and a major CPG brand like Hershey can learn from each other. Listen in and subscribe to The Current at thecurrent.com or wherever you get your podcasts.